It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, actually two of them. The first, are you convinced that Jalen Hurts is all the way back to being a great quarterback again? Yes or no? Where do you stand on that one? Second poll question, what worries you the most right now with the Phillies? Well, I shouldn't say right now per se. The question actually is, what worries you the most with the Phillies? It's similar to right now, but when I think about the Phillies and I think about worry and I think about good times and bad, I think about October. I view this through the prism of October. What worries you the most with the Phillies to come then? But I will say this. What happens now could impact October because you might not have home field advantage. You might not even get a bye anymore. I mean, the Phillies are only two games in front of the Brewers, who did lose last night, so that helps. What worries you the most with the Phillies? Is it A, starting pitching, B, relief pitching, C, hitting, or D, Rob Thompson? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let me tell you something that worries me on a different topic. If we talk about last year with the Eagles, are people going to get mad at me for bringing up the collapse? Now, some people get mad when the collapse goes, by the way, I thought Jalen was kind of out of line the other day with, like, why is that relevant or whatever the heck he said. Like, why is it relevant that he went to talk to Wink Martindale? It's relevant for multiple reasons. First off, credit to Jalen for going to talk to Wink Martindale. That's fascinating. I applaud Jalen for doing that. I also, though, think it's a major mark against Sirianni and Brian Johnson, right? So why
Glenn,
is...
Matt Patricia, and yeah, whoever else in the building.
Thing. So why is it relevant? It's relevant because it's newsworthy. By the way, that was by far the most newsworthy thing from that article, and that
Martindale
was fascinating.
Martindale said it had never happened in his 40 years of coaching. I hated it. I thought it was outrageous, but, I mean, I hear what you're saying. But never happened in 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fascinating nugget. And so I was kind of joking, sort of joking earlier, like, well, if I bring up last year, will people get mad at me? People got mad at, you know, like the writer Tim McManus last week or ESPN.com for the story. Listen, you get a story when you get a story. If that story came together, look, ideally, would that story have been out 2 or 3 weeks ago? Sure, before camp. But if the writer only pieces it all together last week and is able to present it last week in total the way he feels... like, this is the time to release the story, then that's it.
And also, how many Eagles fans, I know all of us and all the people who call this station, wanted to know what the hell happened last year. How did it all play out? Yeah. Why did the season fall apart? Well, guess what? He got the answers. Of course, it's an article that's worth putting out. What are we talking about
here? 1,000%. 1,000%. And maybe they can play peekaboo this year, and those two guys don't have to overlap and coexist that much together, and they can swim as a team and sail. That's great. Or maybe they get totally back on the same page, and that would be great as well, although it doesn't seem like they're, you know, going to be in the same room all that often, so to speak, because Kellen Moore and Hurts are doing their thing. Like, who knows? Like, maybe their relationship will go awry in a way that affects the season again. Who knows? But the bottom line is right now things are in a better spot, and that's good. But I say all that to say, John, we have some audio of Jason Kelce yesterday talking to Rob Motti about last year. And ordinarily, like, I wouldn't necessarily want to go back to last year. It puts us all in a bad mood. But when Kelce speaks, we listen. So, I mean, Celso, don't you think we should play this audio of last year talk from Jason Kelce?
Yes, 100%.
And so if anyone wants to get mad at me, don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce. Yes.
Good luck, guys.
Ruben, that'll give me cover, right? All right. So Kelce was asked by Rob Motti about last year. Let's start with the way this started.
How would Jason, the analyst, explain how or why the Eagles season kind of unraveled towards the end last year after a 10-1 start?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have a much more buttoned up analysis and formulation of that closer we get, because I know, especially week two, when we're in Philly, that's going to be something that everybody's going to want to talk about.
All right, so initially there, just, and by the way, we're going to get to the bulk of his answer in a moment, but it's interesting the way he frames that. When he references week two, he's talking about working for ESPN, the Monday night game that'll be here. So he knows that that's going to be a big thing that week. All right, let's listen to Kelce when he really gets going. He gave a very long answer, but let's get to the crux of what he said. he had already referenced that it clearly wasn't just one part of the team, any player, one thing. It was much more complex and involved than just one thing. And this is really how he answered the question.
I think we had a lot of talent last year, but you know, there were pieces that we were missing. I think the cohesion certainly wasn't there like it was the year before. Obviously, we lost two coordinators, which, you know, it didn't work out with the replacements. And I think both, you know, Brian Desai, I think that Matt Patricia, all these guys are great coaches, but for whatever reason, the circumstances of the staffs or the players or whatever, it didn't really come together right. And on offense, you saw, you know, when we struggled, we went to try and go simpler. And that's, I feel like you have one of two ways to go when you're struggling. You either go simple and get back to your basics and your bread and butter, or you go complex and you try and design your way out of these things and outsmart the opponent. And on offense, we went simpler. On defense, we went the opposite way. We completely overhauled our defensive coordinator and system. And you kind of saw what the downsides of both of those happen on offense and defense, where offensively, I think everybody would agree that, you know, we probably went too simple and that got a little bit predictable and it could put us in situations that were probably harder to execute in. And I think on defense, I think it created a little bit of hesitancy and guys just not really being able to play fast and aggressive because of they're unsure. And I think that players didn't execute at the level that we did the year before, you know, me included.
It's a fascinating answer on a lot of accounts, Sean. I see you shaking
it's
your head.
It's fascinating
over there.
That it ever was attempted. I mean, it's fascinating that people with good football sense would decide that revamping the entire defensive language and plan halfway through the year with a new defensive coordinator would work. Like, that really is sort of foolish. We were, as fans, foolish to believe that would work. It really is. Think about what Vic Fangio said recently. I think this was just prior to camp. He talked about how important it was during OTAs to install as much as possible. So if you needed, I don't know, an extra blitz or a different scheme during the season, you could refer back and pull that up from the annals of practice history. Yeah. You know, like basically it sounded to me like last year, what Vic Fangio described was what part of the problem. We just didn't
it
have
wasn't installed
enough
yet.
Smart
yeah.
football that could answer the our opponent's new schemes.
But I will say, well, two different things, offense and defense. I will say this on the defensive front. They obviously did not feel, and I'm going to say that they is Sirianni and Howie, because I think we know it kind of runs, you know. And it might be Howie Sirianni, but you know, you get.
Yeah.
But they didn't feel it was good enough. I mean, I don't disrespect their choice to try something different. It didn't work, but it's fascinating that they clearly didn't feel that they were humming.
I think they screwed it up the minute they brought Matt Patricia in the spring.
Rhea, I didn't like that.
It's set up. I mean, you don't think Desai was uncomfortable and looking over his shoulder the whole time, that he was being micromanaged? That was a failure from the get-go.
I agree with you. Yeah. I was against the Patricia thing, yeah. And to me, it was just like,
why?
What would be the closest thing to that in baseball? Like bringing in a rival that you kind of hate. I mean, Seltzer, help me out here. Who would be like if Jeremy Shockey was an Eagle or?
Oh God, no.
Who am I looking for? Who was that Neil guy in
Joe,
for the Penguins that went after?
It's not like that.
Claude Giroux. What was
would
that guy?
You say
something Neil? Whatever that guy.
Would you say if Nick Sirianni fails this season, it's like a total betrayal? And can you imagine ever bringing Bill Belichick in with his big brain?
Yeah,
like,
but
it really is. Your merits as a coach
can outweigh
some of those complications. We've got the Dallas Cowboys ex-offensive coordinator as our offensive coordinator
now. You know what?
I like it because he knows what he's doing.
DeMarco Murray. That's it.
DeMarco.
That's the one.
I still feel a little icky about the Kellen. I feel a little icky on the Kellen Moore thing. It's a little.
You shouldn't.
Got a little ick.
Because we're going to roll over people.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.